Welcome to another edition of the weekly daily fantasy football podcast on the IB Sports Podcast Network. As always, I am your host, Keith Fleming. With me, also, as always, the man Joe Matz. But this week, we have a very special guest, Corey Carlton, the smarter Carlton. who is Corey Stats Carlton? I just heard that was your nickname. I didn't know that, Corey.
Facts. See, I've been trying to give it a bad connotation, but
not in this room. You got no, two definitely guys not that here. Love stats. So Corey is going to join us this week, which we're very excited about. We're going to still go through our normal format. If you've not listened before, where me and Joe are going to give three guys at each position. We try to give a high tier, medium tier, and low tier, as we've explained before. If, you know, sometimes there will be basically too medium, maybe too low, because we're not just going to give a name to give it, but we do try to give you a range so that way you can kind of fit in your lineups. And Corey's going to kind of give us his input on all of our plays. And then on top of that, at the end, I'm very excited for this. Corey has built a couple of lineups, which, you know, we tried that for the Thanksgiving episode. That was just for the three games on Thursday. And then, unfortunately, COVID ruined it by canceling moving the Baltimore-Pittsburgh game. And what really sucked was me and Joe were all over Will Fuller, Watson, Gibson. Like, we had the right guys in the two games that they played. We really didn't like too many guys in that Pittsburgh-Baltimore game in general. And I think that was going to be the right play. But anyway, you know that we got to do a few seconds of bragging, though, because we had another good week in 13. But I want to start because it wasn't all rosy. I did give Justin Herbert, and I flat out jinxed him. I sat there and talked for 10 minutes at the beginning of the podcast how he's the most consistent quarterback in football, and he can't miss, and 19 points or more, and boy, did I just laid that Keith jinx all over him. He was awful. I should have known, you know, Bill Belichick versus rookie quarterback. Like, come on, Keith. That was a terrible play. Luckily, we had some good ones. Kirk Cousins at 6,400 scored 26.4 points. Trubisky wasn't awful at 5,400. I think he got me like 18 points. Joe had two very good quarterbacks, and Rodgers at 6,800, 23.5. We got a little lucky with Tannehill in that game and the way it happened, but you'll take it. 6,200, he scored 31.56 points. Again, Eckler was my high-tier running back. That was bad. Booker, White, my running backs were horrible last week, but that's why we got Joe, man. Joe had James Robinson, 7,300, 22.8 points. Miles Sanders didn't have a good game, but David Montgomery at 5,500 was a great play. He was in almost all my lineups. Thank you very much, Joe. 27.10 points. We continue to just, like, wide receiver is our bread and butter. Justin Jefferson, 6,900 was my pick for high tier. He had 25.10 points. My middle tier pick, Brandon Ayuk, had at 5,400, he had 20.5 points. Mims for the Jets didn't have a great game. Renfro, Joe's low tier, didn't either, but he also had Adam Thielen at 7,300, 21.5 points. Cooper Kupp at 6,100, 15.3 points. Joe, our tight ends actually came through the crapshoot position.
Amazing.
This was unreal. We normally don't ever get any tight ends that have big games, but we both had Hawkinson, 15.4 points. Tanyan was my middle tier at 3,700. He had 13.9 points. Joe had two other good plays. He had Gesicki at 4,200. He scored 23.8 points. Jordan Reed had 12.2. And then at the flex, A.J. Brown was a disappointment at 7,600, but I did have his partner in crime, Corey Davis, 5,100. He had 38.2 points. And as good as that play was, probably the play of the week was Coty at 3,500. He had 25.1 points. Joe's flex plays were really good, though. Allen Robinson, 6,700, 13.5. It won't kill you. Went what we wanted, but it won't kill you. Robert Woods was very good at 5,900, 18.5 points. And Brandon Cooks, who unfortunately, I think, kind of lost a little bit to Coty. Coty had more targets. He ended up with 11.5 for 5,600. And then the Dolphins' defense was a win. They had 14 points. Boy, the Bears and Falcons, my other two, were losses. Seattle had 9 points. That was a good one, Joe. I think the Chiefs did okay, if I remember correctly. I don't remember exact point totals. The Chargers did not. So we've had a good stretch here, and we're hoping, you know, that we're going to have another good week for week 14. We brought in the big guns. We brought in a Carlton, and it's not RC, so he's not going to be yelling at me the entire time. So I'm excited about that. Let's get this thing right rolling. At quarterback, the high tier, there's two guys, basically, in my opinion, that you got to think about, and it was between Aaron Rodgers and Herbert. I wanted to go with Herbert because he's been my boy, but I put the stink on him last week, so I didn't want to make him my official pick, even though I like him. Rodgers at 7,500, though. I mean, you got to remember, in week two, he torched them. He had 240 yards and two touchdowns. That was without Devontae Adams. You remember he got banged up after that huge game week one. I think he got hurt in, like, the first quarter. The Lions have given up two or more touchdowns in seven games this season, three or more in four. Quarterbacks like Trubisky, P.J. Walker, Alex Smith, and Gardner Minshew were four of the five quarterbacks not to throw for multiple touchdowns versus the Detroit Lions. Aaron Rodgers is definitely not in that class. And Rodgers had that terrible game against Tampa. We all remember. Since then, he scored 27.3, 23.5, 31.9, 29.4, 26.7, 25.6, and 23.5 points. He's averaging 28 points in a dome, which that's another big deal to me, is they're inside on that track. There's so many Packers I like this week. You're not going to hear me argue if you got Adams, if you got Jones. I'm actually going to talk about Jones in a little bit. But Rodgers at 7,500, I just feel like he's not, you know, in that elite 8,000 range where it gets to where is it really worth playing him. At 7,500, I just think he's too safe a play not to have as my top tier. Corey, what do you think about that?
Yeah, no, I love Rodgers and cash for all the reasons you said. The thing I don't love about Rodgers and great easy on paper matchups is it's impossible to differentiate with him. You have to stack him in Adams. You can't not. So if you do play him in GPPs, you kind of have to not eat the cash, not eat the chalk elsewhere and differentiate your lineup some other how. But anyone that tells you Rodgers isn't a good play doesn't know what they're talking about.
They're a hater.
Yeah, I'm with you. I have a different guy, but that's only because I saw that you'd chosen Rodgers already, because he's my favorite play this week as well among the top tier guys. And, you know, I don't think I stacked him with Adams in my previous weeks before this last week. And then I did it this week, and I was like, well, it's fucking stupid not to do that every time, to Corey's point. So yeah, if you do Rodgers, do Adams. It just makes sense. But my alternative to him in the higher end is Lamar Jackson at 7,000. You know, he hasn't blown up the league like he did last year, but he's never scored under 14.5 on DraftKings, so he'll never totally murder your team. He has four games over 25 points, and that includes his first matchup with the Cleveland Browns at 27.5. Cleveland, you know, I just really – that's my thing about this team that I doubt, even more than Baker Mayfield. I just don't think their defense is as good as it's looked. We've talked about previously how they had a few weeks when the rain and wind, it made them look like a good defense when really it was just impossible to pass. Mm-hmm. They're 21st on DraftKings against QBs even with those games. They're 22nd in passing DVOA, 23rd in yard allowed, and 29th in passing touchdowns allowed. They have three straight multi-TD games, and that's including two games against the Eagles and Jets. And that's all just passing. I'm not even talking about Lamar Jackson running the ball yet. So, and then Mark Andrews is going to be back this week too. And also Marquise Brown has shown life the last 2 weeks. So I think this offense is moving in the right way. Should I also just think
Snead back, who's been, you know, exactly throwing the ball.
And I think Baltimore wins this game. I think this is a statement game for them. If they want to stay in this playoff race, they have to win. And if they're going to win, Lamar is going to show up. So I like him at 7,000.
Corey, what you think?
Yeah, I think Lamar's starting to – I think he had this perception of preservation coming off the high of last year. And we saw a lot less design runs, a lot less runs. He looked – back. I mean, the Dallas defense obviously will do that when they're
that helps.
I think we see more of Lamar. Like, they're in danger of not making the playoffs if they lose this game.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't think you're going to see this reserve Lamar trying to show he's a pocket passer. So I like Lamar actually going from here on out, as long as he's under 7,500. I think he's a great GPP. He is due for a 30-point game. He just is.
Why are they not running Dobbins more? Like, why do you think that they haven't really unleashed him yet? He seems to be their best back.
It's tough, right? Because in theory, with Lamar, you do want more of a power back, because Lamar is going to be hitting the edges. Lamar, you want a power back for even when he runs quarterback powers. You want somebody that can, like, grind it out if he's going to be your change of pace back, quote unquote. And Dobbins isn't Gus or Ingram in that category. So I do think he's gotten more carries. He's getting 60% of the snap share over the last two games. But I do think there's value to Gus, and you see it. Like, you see Gus in those games against Pittsburgh and these other teams where he's the one grinding it out. So I understand the timeshare there, even if they're not as good or explosive as Dobbins in a normal system.
It's already paying off having Corey on here. See, asking shall receive. I like that. I'm going to go and tell you guys that I really think, and I do like that Lamar play. I think Rodgers, Herbert, Lamar, I can even understand Brady. Minnesota has given up a lot of yardage to the pass throughout this year. They don't get a ton of pressure, which is, you know, what Brady struggles with. So my lower guys, you know, when you're spending 5,700 and 5,100, which are my next two, obviously these are, you know, you're taking a risk. You're basically loading up in the rest of your lineup and playing one of these quarterbacks. Rivers at 5,700 at Las Vegas to me is interesting. He scored 18.8 points or more in his last four. He's scored more than 18.8 points in five of his last six. The Raiders have given up multiple touchdowns in four of their last five games. I mean, Sam Darnold, you know, just threw for two touchdowns against them. And I just think the Raiders are a little bit of, as we've seen, a phony team. I think a lot of people were high on them early, especially because, you know, they had two good games against Kansas City, which, you know, kudos to them. But if you look the last couple of weeks, I mean, my Falcons just beat the brakes off of them. The Jets should have beat them. I mean, you will never convince me that that wasn't a Trevor Lawrence decision. I mean, there's no other reason that a professional football coach would be in that defense. Like, no other in that situation.
But he's going to be gone. He's just an idiot. That's the thing. He's going to be gone. He has no interest in Trevor Lawrence because, like, he already is gone. So that's my point. Like, he just is an insane person who keeps safeties 30 yards back on first downs, and then at the end of games calls zero blitzes.
It's unbelievable. We were just talking about it today. It's like the movie Tin Cup. As a golfer, I can't watch it because, you know, he does the whole deal where he hits the ball in the water over and over again. That's all I thought about. It's just insanity.
That's a good comp.
But I do like Philip Rivers. I mean, if you look at it, you know, Indy has kind of got more. I know they, you know, obviously have lost a game recently. They looked better last week. They could have easily lost that game to the Texans, but I do like the fact that they're starting to run it better. You know, Taylor is starting to be more consistent in the yardage he's getting and the carries. Obviously, Hines is catching balls out of the pass field. T.Y. Hilton has all of a sudden shown life. I think he's had like 18 catches for 190 yards and two touchdowns the last 2 weeks. We know he likes to throw to my man Trey Burton in the red zone. And I can just see Rivers, again, getting around that total that he's been averaging lately, around 18 points. And if I can get, you know, 5,700 for a quarterback, get 18 to 20 points, maybe I get lucky, throws three, four touchdowns against a not a great defense, and he gets in that 25-point range, and I do well with, you know, the rest of my money elsewhere. That's kind of what I'm thinking with my middle-tier play. I know it's risky. What do you think, Corey?
I hate Philip Rivers with a passion. As a quarterback, he lost me way too much money for me to ever endorse. It's not a bad play. I mean, that Vegas defense is deplorable. You can't go wrong. Like, you can stream quarterbacks against Vegas defense like you can stream running backs against Jacksonville. So I'm not mad at it, but I will never be clicking that Phillip Rivers icon.
Love it. Joe, who's your middle tier guy?
My middle tier, higher end of the middle tier, which is Ryan Tannehill at 6,700. He's, again, we talk about him every time that he's just been really consistent for a year and a half now. He's averaging 21.8. on DraftKings. He has four games over 25 points, and that includes his previous game against Jacksonville. And I feel like I do this every week when I pick a QB against Jacksonville, but it just bears repeating how awful they are against the pass. They're 29th on DraftKings, 28th in yards allowed per game to court passing, 30th in completion percentage and touchdowns allowed, 31st in passing DVOA, and dead last in yards per attempt. They have six straight games allowing multiple passing touchdowns, and the lowest QB score on DraftKings during that time was Ben Roethlisberger putting up 17.6. So I'd say at minimum you're getting 17 or 18, and the higher end is he's challenging for 30.
Yeah, I mean, you can't go wrong with that. I have a different game script for that game. But
that's what I was going to ask you. I understand. Like, Henry can go wild, like, right? That would be the scare. I mean,
Tannehill, if you would have had – most people had the same game script last week.
And that's fair.
That's why you won, because you picked Tannehill and Davis. So you can't go wrong. You can roll the dice. And, in fact, like, it may be old school quarterback one, RB one, raw receiver one time.
Yeah.
A little blast on the pass. So, no, I definitely can't say anything bad about Tannehill in this spot.
Yeah. Yeah, to that point, make sure you have some Tennessee Titan on your team, in your lineups. Pick one of the guys, throw them in there. Someone's going to go off.
What have we said this year, Joe? If you're playing the Falcons or the Seahawks, play the receivers. if you're playing, you know, the Lions, play their running backs. The Jaguars are that one team that we've talked about. They're bad against tight ends. They're bad against receivers. They're bad against quarterback. They're bad against everything. So you got to at least play a play or two against them, because – you know somebody's going to go off. That's been consistent all year. My low tier, and I might throw up a little bit at my mouth saying this, but Sam Darnold's 5,100. He scored 23 points last week. The Seahawks, I don't know what to say. I mean, they've given up 13 touchdowns and only one pick in their last five games. That includes a New England game that there was no passing touchdowns in. So, really, they've given up those 13 touchdowns in four of their last five games. During that stretch, they're giving up 2 yards per game through the air. It's hard to believe, but they appear to be getting worse as the season goes on against the pass, which is just mind-boggling. The other good news for Darnold is the Seahawks need to get right so bad. And I could just see them really putting a pounding on the Jets on the offensive side, which means they get up early. The Jets are in, you know, must-throw situations. And again, at 5,100, against this team, and I do – like, normally I would never take a guy like that, especially at Seattle, but the home field kind of seems to be, you know – lost without fans. I know they still, I think, have only lost one game at home, but they, if you look at it, they've had several close games at home against teams that they really, in most years you would think they beat them by, you know, double digits with the 12th man. So if you're going down here and this just throw stuff against the wall, and I have had some success this year just basically playing the quarterback or receivers that are facing Seattle. I also like Crowder this week, who's, you know, not on my list. I don't hate Mims, who's cheap as well. I just think there's some opportunities with it, as well as Johnson, the running back, who kind of emerged last week with Gore potentially out. Again, this is the gamble bargain play, but I could see Darnold, you know, putting up some points. He had 23 last week against a bad Seattle defense.
My first I don't love spot for a guy. Not because of Darnold, actually. Ironically, it's because of Seattle's defense. They actually have slowed the game down a lot. And Jamal Adams being backed up blitzing more. So I don't think they've given up more than, 24 points in the last four games. No one's had a 300 yards in the last four games besides Goff, and he didn't have any TDs. So I don't think anyone scored over 20 points in the last four games against them. That defense is still deplorable. That secondary is still awful. So like you said, if they get up, I think it's been game script. They haven't been blowing teams out, or they haven't been from behind. So if they get up, obviously Darnold's in play and he chucks it. But I don't love it just because of Seattle's changed the tempo a little bit. They're a lot relying on that running game a tad bit more.
And Corey, don't be bashful. You're not going to hurt my feelings. I like to hear that. It's like what I tell Joe. I want people to tell me if they don't like it so I can rethink about it. I love it. All right, Joe, who's your low tier?
All right, so my low-tier guy is Matthew Stafford at 5,700. He's been over 17 points in 9 of 12 weeks. So most weeks, he's a good play at 5,700 regardless. He's coming off his first 30-point game, and obviously, you know, there's the danger of trying to bet on a guy repeating a strong performance. But I think there's something to the coaching change there, having Daryl Bevel be the head coach. I think that's going to continuously open the offense up as we go here. It's not going to have, you know, Matt Patricia thinking that the run game is the key or something. And I also like it because it's kind of a contrarian play on DraftKings, because the Packers are fourth against QBs on DraftKings. But I think that's a little bit – it throws off how good that Packers defense is. They've actually given up 7 multi-score games to QBs. The Bears threw 3 touchdown passes on them 2 weeks ago. They've only had one game where they haven't given up a passing touchdown.
Trubisky threw 3 against them in the first game.
There you go. On the year, QBs, 21 touchdowns to 8 picks against the Packers, and they're 18th in passing DVOA on Football Outsiders. So I think this is a mediocre passing defense that, for whatever reason, is overachieving on DraftKings. And I think Stafford's been underachieving on fantasy to a degree this year. And even if Galladay's not back, Swift will be back, which – makes that back? Offense. Swift, I don't know if he's 100%, but everything I've read, he's trending back. Galladay looks like he'll probably be out again. But Stafford's got it working with Hockenson. He's got it working with Jones. I think he's on the up and up. And also, if people aren't feeling Stafford, I think Matt Ryan at 5,700 is a solid play too. He's had a rough
few. Guy I was going to ask about.
He's had a rough few weeks, but I think the Chargers are a good bounce-back candidate. They've given up multiple passing touchdowns in 6 of their last 7 games. So I think either of those guys at 5,700 is a good low-tier play.
Absolutely love Stafford this week. My favorite play, probably 50% of my GPP lineups. He's averaging averages like 290 yards a game against the Packers. He's averaging better at home, like 5 more fantasy points at home than away this year. If everything we said about Rodgers lighting up Green Bay, we know that means 40 attempts for Detroit. I love that it's easy to stack him with Marvin Jones and Hockenson, whichever you choose. I love Stafford at home. I think they get down and he just guns it. I love that he's coming off a good week as well. He's definitely a streaky quarterback. He'll string a couple 400-yard games together. So big on Stafford this week. Love that pick.
Yeah,
love it even more if Galladay's out, actually, because it makes it easier to stack, and I won't get it wrong.
Yeah.
I like it.
That's a good point.
And just with Ryan real quick, you know, as a Falcons fan, the only thing that scares me about him is he's just not as good outdoors. He hasn't been the last few years. He's so much better in a dome. But the Chargers are in that bottom 10 defenses. He's had 3 games against bottom 10 defenses this year. He's averaging 25 points per game in those. He has 7 touchdowns, 1 pick. Julio looked at least semi-healthy last week on 1 hamstring. And I think the Chargers are going to score on him. So I do like Ryan a lot this week, too. I think that, unfortunately for the Falcons, they're going to be down and they're going to have to throw a lot. And so I think that's actually 2 guys at that 5,700 that you could put in your lineup and build some with. And I do like Julio this week, even though he's not got a great matchup against it. He's due to have a big game. And I think he's going to be a little bit more healthy. At least that's what they're saying. Moving on to running backs. Talked about the Lions. Aaron Jones, 7,600. I wanted to go with Joe's guy, James Robinson. He's got a questionable tag, which kind of scared me a little bit. And he was only $100 cheaper. Jones is coming off a 26-point game versus Philly. In the first game versus Detroit, he had his biggest game of the year. He scored 48.6 points. Detroit gives up, and I love this. Joe just turned me on to this ESPN thing about what defenses give up compared to the average defense to positions. Detroit gives up 10 more points to running backs than the league average. That's worst by almost 4 points. They've given up 11 touchdowns on the ground, 7 through the air. 9 times this season, they've given up multiple touchdowns to running backs in a game. At 7,600, that's 1,100 less than Henry, who obviously has a really good matchup as well. It's 100 more than Chubb, which I mean, Baltimore is not the run defense it once was, but it's definitely a lot better than, you know, Detroit. I just think Jones is a safe play at 7,600 that he's going to get his due. He's going to score a touchdown. Like, I can guarantee you that, whether it be through the air or on the ground, and there's potential there for him to have a huge game.
Yeah, I mean, this is the spot that had everyone clicking on his name for like five straight weeks. This is the spot too. It's without Adam, so this is the definition of I need to wait for my premium stuff to pay off and let me see ownership. If he's like under 15% owned, I'll be over the field. If he's over 20% owned, I'll probably be under the field. So this is an ownership play, but you can't go wrong here, like you said. Very similar to have someone. Against Jacksonville, this is a definitely have someone. Green Bay, you either have to go with the passing game or the running game because somebody's going to hit big this game.
Yeah, I mean, Jones is my top tier guy too. I just think, and to Corey's point, the danger there is he's going to be the top guy for a lot of people. So there's a little risk that you're just on the hook with 30% of the people on DraftKings, but on the other hand, sometimes you get weeks like that one with Dalvin Cook where he scores like 45 points, and if you didn't have him in your lineup, you were dead. Yeah, or Tyreek Hill when he scores 60, where it doesn't matter how owned he was. If you go off like that and the guy's not on your lineup, you're out of the money. So I also love Aaron Jones this week.
So my middle tier guy is probably my favorite play this week. You got to make sure he's healthy. You got to make sure he's a definite go. But Joe Mixon at 5,900, all signs point to him returning. He's had at least 20 touches in every game he's played this season. In those six games, he's averaged over four targets per game. He scored four touchdowns. The Cowboys have given up 120 yards or more on the ground in five of their last seven games. 170 or more in four of their last seven, along with eight touchdowns. If Mixon's cleared, he will be the focal point of the Bengals offense. I mean, we've seen how much they've struggled throwing the ball, you know, since sadly Joe Burrow was lost for the season. And the Cowboys offense is just not good. So I don't see them getting up big to where the Bengals are going to have to throw. The Cowboys have only scored 20 or more points once since Dak Prescott went down against the Giants when I think that was like week four or week five, meaning since he should be able to keep it close, that means you're going to see a lot of Mixon. And, you know, whether it be on the ground or pass catching, which we know Mixon's a great pass catching back, I just think at 5,900, you're not going to get the value or the talent, I guess you could say, along with the, you know, the production, the touches for that cost. We've talked about this on the, you know, show, Joe, where either a guy will have a couple of bad games or they're coming back off an injury, and you get like that 1-2 week window where they price him below what he should be at. And I definitely think Mixon falls in that value in a good matchup versus Dallas.
Yeah, I mean, this is how you win like a million type deal. You pick someone that there's just so much ambiguity around. I like Mixon as a back. Like I think he's one of the most talented backs. Obviously you need to be searching and scouring the news to see if he has a snap count. I mean, if they're telling me he's only getting 15 touches, I'm going to stay away, and I'd rather have Jonathan Taylor at that price point. But, if he's full steam a go, of course, like I'm worried about the lack of passing game to touch any Bengals, generally speaking, but Dallas has shown they have no interest in trying on defense. So I know they're not trying to tackle a motivated Joe Mixon. Just no way.
Yeah, and then my middle tier guy, I'm in the exact same price range. I'm just going to keep riding him for now, which is David Montgomery at 6,500.
Oh, you're playing with fire, my friend.
I know he hasn't been a blow-up guy until the last two. I think he had one 20-point game before the last 2 weeks, and he's put up 28 and 27. That's been against the Packers and the Lions, which are two of the worst defenses against running backs. 6,500.
6,500, I'm sorry.
Yeah, he's bumped up after the last 2 weeks. But the thing is, his matchup isn't much different than the last 2 weeks because he's facing the Houston Texans. And you just referenced that ESPN thing that tells you how much points above average teams give up. Houston is only better than the Detroit Lions. They give up an extra 8 points per game to running backs. They are dead last, giving up 140 rushing yards at 5.2 yards per carry. And they throw in 5 receptions and 45 yards per game to backs. Montgomery has had multiple receptions in 11 straight games. Week one's the only time that didn't happen. So I don't see any reason to stop riding him this week. Next week will probably be a different story, but I think this is another good 20-point opportunity for David Montgomery.
I don't love the 6,500, but I agree. Sometimes sure. people watch only game logs and use season stats too much. When sometimes it's really simple in front of your face. Like, I think he's blowing up now because Nagy doesn't trust Trubisky as much to throw in the red zone as he would Foles. So Montgomery gets more touches around the goal line. Sometimes it's just a simple answer. So I like him again. I think he gets more touches inside the 10, which historically has been the issue. It's never been yards or receptions. It's been TDs.
All right, I may have to go because, Joe, your running back plays have been just amazing the last 3 weeks. my low tier, and I hope I didn't make a mistake, I originally had Melvin Gordon at 5,200, but I did look that, you know, Carolina has been better against the run the last month. They were awful during that kind of middle stretch of the season. Now, the one thing that concerns me is I don't know if that's just because they've given up more passing yards or if it's they've actually gotten better. I'm not really an X and O's guy. But I know Joe has told me that his New York Giants, they struggle with running backs, particularly catching passes. Kenyon Drake at 5,500, you know, Drake had that stretch where he was, you know, everybody calling a bust after his great season last year. Well, you know, don't look now. He's had four straight double-digit games in that span. He's averaging north of 17 points per game. So you're getting a guy at 5,500 that's averaging, you know, north of 17 points per game in the last month. And to me, the big thing is, Joe, as he said, is, you know, they're bad against pass catching backs. He's had 13 targets and 10 receptions in that time. So they are throwing him the ball. And again, Giants are okay against the run, bad against catching passes. They're giving up over six catches and 52 yards per game. They've given up seven or more receptions five times in three of their last six games. If you want to go even cheaper, I could also see Chase Edmonds potentially. Like, you know, I've said this, I think the week that I had him, that he had a really good game, Joe, where Chase is that guy that he'll have like 7, 8, 10 points, and then all of a sudden you'll see him have a 20-point game because he can move. You know, he can turn any play into a touchdown. So if you're not totally confident on Drake, I do like playing Edmonds because I just think one of them is going to end up scoring a touchdown, probably a pass-catching touchdown. Drake has obviously been getting most of the goal line work. And then the fact that Murray is banged up and just does not look right, I think they're going to lean on running the football a lot more just in general. So Drake is my low-tier play.
Yeah, I love that. That's exactly what I was going to say, is that Murray hurt his shoulder, his throwing shoulder, so he doesn't run anymore. So all of the pillaging of the goal line touchdowns that he was doing to Drake and company is gone. So you have that going for you. And once you stop running as much, you're going to use your checkdowns more, because instead of going 1, 2, 3 run, he goes 1, 2, 3 Drake. So love him in this situation.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't make my list, but like you said, my Giants can't cover running backs for whatever reason. The one big play we gave up last week to Seattle was Chris Carson in the passing game.
Thank God that won me a bunch of money.
Stressed me out for an extra half hour, but I'm glad it worked out. So yeah, I like that play. My lower tier guy is Myles Gaskin at 5,600. Double digits all but 1 week, and that other week was 9 points. A big part of that is he's averaging 4 receptions per game, so he's always involved. He's had 21 touches or more in the last 4 games he's played. He just came back from injury. They immediately reestablished him as the clear number one back. During those 4 games, he's averaging 16.5 points, so that's good value if you're getting 16.5 at 5,600. I think if they're smart, you're playing Kansas City, you want to run the ball early and often to try and just run clock, keep that offense off the field. Kansas City's 22nd against running backs. They've given up 107 yards at 4.6 yards per carry to running backs. And again, though, even if this game gets out of hand, which obviously it's Kansas City, there's always a good chance that'll happen. They give up 5 receptions for 43 yards to backs, and Gaskin, again, averaging 4 receptions a game. So no matter how this game plays out, he should be involved. He should get touches. That's why I like him as a lower tier guy.
Yeah, I don't mind Gaskin. I've got a bone to pick with him personally because I picked him over Montgomery on FanDuel just last week. Who do you pick? But yeah, no, he's in a good spot. Like we've seen Jacobs and other backs like have good days against Kansas City and even the last year. So I don't mind Gaskin at all. And I do think he's script proof. Like no matter what, he'll be involved. So as long as that back feels not healthy and he's the one, can't go wrong with it.
Corey, what do you think about Swift this week at 6,500 if he's cleared? We know Green Bay has given up some monstrous, games on the ground. I know he was, starting to really turn it on. I think he'd scored 30, 14, 12, and 25 in four of his last five games. But is he just too expensive?
Yeah, I just don't think he belongs in that tier for his workload. Like, we're still looking at a max of 20 touches. There's still a 20-touch ceiling. Whereas I don't think other people of that have a 20 touch ceiling. So, I mean, I'm finding $500 to get to Eckler. Sorry.
Right. Yeah.
Like, I don't care who it has to come from.
Especially against my Falcons.
Give me Eckler over Swift any day of the week. So against Atlanta. So that's where I would land with
completely
that.
Completely agree. So it's ironic you said that because we're going on to receiver Keenan Allen, my boy, who, seriously, God, buttered my roll for what, about almost 6 weeks there, Joe. He got up to where he was too expensive. I actually was off on the last 2 weeks. He only had 9 catches for 88 yards and a touchdown, but he's down to 7,700 against Atlanta. And to me, the big thing is he's still averaging, even in games that he has, for 2 weeks, he has 9 catches, 88 yards and a touchdown. He had 21 targets in those 2 games. So the targets are still there. He's facing, it's my Falcons. They're horrible. They're giving up on the season, 15 receptions, 207 yards per to wide receivers, 11 touchdowns. Don't overthink this. If Allen gets 10-plus targets, which since his bye, he's averaging 12 targets per game, he will go off. He will score a touchdown. I was trying to think of the good receiver the Falcons have faced this year that did not have a good game. And I can't think of it. I mean, Michael Thomas has now had 2 really good games with a tight end throwing to him. So Keenan Allen at 7,700, I think he's at a perfect price, perfect lineup. He's going to have a bounce back game. He'll be back in that 20-point range. He's my high tier guy.
Yeah, what you said. And I think he'll be under-owned coming off a dud and kind of a price near some like more popular names. So yeah, everything you said. He's in my lineups.
Yeah, actually, when you sent me your list, we had the exact same wide receivers. So I just had to, steer away from a couple of them so we could have some alternative opinions. But I love Allen. That is, and just because this other guy was not originally my top tier guy does not mean I don't love him. And that's, I think, for the third straight game he's played, Adam Thielen at 7,000. Thielen's averaging 19.4 points per game on DraftKings. The 6 guys immediately priced above him this week are all averaging less than he does on the season. So 7,000 is a great value for him. He's been tearing it up the last few weeks. 3 straight games with a touchdown. 2 of them he scored 2 touchdowns in. Back-to-back weeks, well, he missed 1 week with injury, but back-to-back games, 8 receptions on 11 targets. He's super involved. I've said multiple times this year that he is the number one guy in end zone targets. So most end zone targets last 4 weeks, he has 6. So that's only behind Devontae Parker and Devontae Adams in that time span. So he's just constantly targeted. And that Tampa Bay corner group has just been getting torched recently. Over 300 yards allowed to receivers in the last 2 games. Now, that was the Rams and the Chiefs, so those are teams that can pass. But we've also seen over the last month that this Minnesota offense is rolling, and you can't just focus on Thielen anymore because Jefferson's there. So, and he's lower price than Jefferson by $400, so I'd like him as a lower price play.
And I love Justin Jefferson, but, Thielen's going to get, the opportunities for touchdowns. Jefferson's a big play guy. That's kind of like when Julio's less than Ridley. If you're going to take a Falcon, always take, the better guy is cheaper, in my opinion. Corey, what you think?
I mean, I love Thielen. This is a can't go wrong play. I don't know who to play between him and Jefferson. I want to do
that. That's the one problem.
Yeah, yeah. I want to do some more research just to see like routes run, like who's guarding the slot, like stuff like that. Just to see who I'm gonna pick. Right now, I just have them split in two lineups. But yeah, absolutely feeling like 7,000 is criminal. With that said, he'll probably be owned because 7,000 is criminal. But yeah, no, you can't go wrong with Thielen. I'd be shocked if he gets you under 15 points this week. Like, shocked. Even those weeks you are like sweating and you don't think he's going to get there.
He gets there.
Always.
He figures it out.
Garbage time king. He always gets there. He always gets there.
And to make, I mean, Tampa Bay's pretty good against the run too. So it probably will not be a game where Dalvin Cook just, you know, goes ham and you got to, you know, worry about that. But even lately, that hasn't mattered. Even in his good games, the receivers have gotten theirs. I'm going to tell you, the middle tier receivers is the toughest selection I can ever remember because there's so many guys. I mean, just below where Joe's talking about, and I'm going to probably try to load up most of my lineups with maybe two guys in this range. You got Robinson against Houston. We know Houston's not a very good pass, you know, defense, 6,800. McLaurin, we saw what Buffalo's receivers did. I mean, if Cole Beasley out of the slot was able to do what he did to San Francisco, I would be moving Terry McLaurin into the slot and just letting him torch those guys all day. You got Evans versus Minnesota. We've seen, you know, like Jacksonville torching them and other teams lately. Julio's at 6,600. You know, Godwin again down in that range. I mean, there's a lot of guys. Corey Davis a little further down, 5,700. But I ended up going with Deontay Johnson. He's my guy. I mean, he's quietly averaged 18.7 over his last seven games. That includes a 1.7-point game. That was that one catch game against Baltimore. If you remember, that was like a wet, rainy game. It was physical. In their last four, the Bills have given up 56 catches, 766 yards, and five touchdowns. They've struggled, it seems like, with more slot possession underneath receivers. You look at guys like that have had either 100 yards or a touchdown against this defense. Jamison Crowder, Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods, Devontae Parker, David Moore, Keenan Allen. I think Johnson is a better version of most of those wide receivers. He's got a quarterback that's playing well. He's got an offense that is, you know, very good when they throw the football. I am a little concerned that Buffalo has been bad against the run. Connor's coming back after, what, like a two-week absence. Maybe Pittsburgh tries to run a little bit more coming off a loss. Who knows? But I just – Joe has taught me early in the season when Deontay Johnson, and he's at 6,700, is, you know, in my opinion, a good value, which I think he is at that price range and has a good matchup. You know he's going to get a bunch of receptions. So his floor, you know, if he gets 7-8 receptions, even if he gets 60 yards, you're going to get 13, 14 points. He gets a touchdown or busts a big play. I just like those kind of guys. And again, Buffalo has really struggled as of late with receivers. So Deontay Johnson's my middle tier guy.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you're playing that slate, he's a no-brainer. Like, we're – the targets are absurd. Like, I've never seen targets like this. We're talking like 15. I saw 17 one week, 13. Like, the targets are absurd. Like, this man is getting the rock, and Ben throws about 40 times a game. So, like, anyone getting that many targets should be 75, 8,000 type deal. Like you said, on DraftKings, he's a no-brainer. If you play FanDuel, maybe you want to switch off just because it's so much touchdown dependent. But DraftKings,
so is that no-brainer. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I haven't really done a lot of FanDuel. Is that the difference? Is basically it's more.
Yeah, so it's a half a point PPR.
Okay.
So I got like Deontay. It's like,
right.
If he's not getting as many touchdowns, you would much rather play a Thielen than Johnson on DK at FanDuel, just because it's so touchdown dependent, and you never play a receiver in the flex.
Wow.
That's interesting. Yeah, I did not know. I haven't played FanDuel.
We would struggle with that, Joe, considering receivers is our bread and butter and running backs.
That's true. We chose the right one. Obviously, I always co-sign Deontay Johnson. I'm starting to just harbor a real grudge against my brother because we co-run a season-long team in one league, and he refused to let us draft Deontay Johnson. Ooh. Because he's a Patriots fan and he hates the Steelers.
Oh, you can't be doing fantasy if you're going to have.
Right. I was like, Deontay Johnson, we were going to give him for a dollar on an auction draft. God. And I was like, So I'm a little angry about that. Just blowing it. My mid-tier guy is also your lower-tier guy, I believe, which is Corey Davis. I obviously the big danger here with him still priced at 5,700 is just that a lot of people are going to be on him, especially after last week. Obviously don't expect 38 points again, but outside of one off week, he's had 10 points every single week. He's got five straight games with at least 67 yards. And man, I talked about it when going over Tannehill. The Jaguars are just awful against the pass. Six straight games, they've given up at least one touchdown to receivers. Three of those were multi-touchdown games. Also, four of those six games, over 200 yards to receivers. So Brown or Davis, one of those guys is going – I don't care. Like, if Henry goes off, I still would bet money one of the receivers goes off this week too. The Jaguars are just that bad. And then also – I know he was your original pick, and you swapped over to Deontay. I really like Julio at 6,500, I think?
He's 66, too. He's in that 6,600. Group with Adams. There's a bunch of them.
And what I like about that one is I think most weeks people are going to be like, oh, Julio's at 6,600. I got to play him. But if they look and they just see that opposition rank, third for the Chargers. But that's another one where I think it's misleading because – let's see, five of the last seven games, their opposing team has thrown under 30 passes against them. So it's really been a lack of opportunity.
I can promise you that.
Exactly. Matt Ryan's averaging 39 attempts on the season. So they're going to have opportunities. And I think this Chargers defensive backfield is not nearly as good as that ranking suggests. So I also like Julio at 65.
He's a beast, man. What do you think about that, Corey?
I was actually on Julio last week, trying to get him at 2-4% owned, and did. He had a great first half and didn't get there. So I like Julio again this week. Anytime you can get Julio, Julio has the same ceiling as Davante Adams, just at 66.
Yep. Yep.
He does. He's not going to get there as often. He's got to get him in his targets. But the ceiling's the exact same, just at 6,600. And he'll be less than 10% owned. That's the definition of a tournament play. We've talked about doing everyone that plays Jacksonville. So can't say no to Corey Davis either.
So Corey Davis was my low tier. But since you got him at your middle tier, I'm going to give you another lane. I like CeeDee Lamb, 4,800 at Cincy. You know, Lamb is one of those guys that if you look at it, they, I think, realize that he's their most talented receiver. And the last 3 weeks, he has had 22 targets. Now, granted, he had that 7.1 game against Washington, who's very good, but he scored double figures. And what would that be? 2, 3, 4, 5. It's like 6 out of his last 9 games. He's still getting looks in the red zone consistently, like each game. And Cincy is really bad against receivers. I think people forget, and their ranking actually looks a little bit better than what it has because the last 3 weeks they played the Dolphins who don't throw the ball well, the Giants who don't throw the ball well, and Washington doesn't throw the ball well. In those three games, they gave up like a combined less than 300 yards. So they were giving up 100 yards per. Before that, they had a 5-game stretch to just receivers. They gave up 13 catches for 202 and a touchdown, 14 catches for 214 and a touchdown, 13 catches, 163, 2 touchdown, 23 catches, 283, 4 touchdowns, 11 catches, 124 yards and a touchdown. We know that Mixon is basically all they got with the quarterback that they have right now. The Cowboys should be able to control this game. And CeeDee Lamb's just one of those guys that at 4,800, we know he has the ability, the speed and all that stuff, that he could take a couple of those short passes, which is what Dalton likes to do anyway, turn into a big play. 4,800, I think he could end up being a boom play. So I'll give him this like a bonus low tier since, you just went over Corey Davis.
Yeah, I like CD. I think I play CD weekly. I think this week, however, I will be saving the $1,000 and going down to Gallup. 19 targets in 2 weeks.
Yeah, what is the deal all of a sudden? Did they just forget that he was really good?
I mean, I think Dalton just finally comfortable throwing the ball downfield, knowing the offense, right? Like he got hurt, he has a concussion, and he come back, he's checked down city. Now he feels a little more comfortable stretching the field, and that's what Gallup does. If you can give me 19 targets in 2 weeks,
what's he at? Did you say
$3,800? 19 targets in 2 weeks. I mean, that's a click for me.
he so, won me that. That's a good deep call right there.
No, that was how I won the captain's thing last night. And it was luck because it was just because I had Lamar Jackson as my captain. He was the only guy I could really play at that value. I wasn't playing any of the Ravens receivers. And literally Gallup ended up scoring with that 30-yard reception. I won by like 1.2 points. So I finally won a showdown, pool, which I had never done before.
Yeah, the only danger, I think, is these targets have obviously come with them being down.
Right.
And we could see the first game where they're actually up and this is a Zeke game or this is a Pollard game. So there's some danger that these targets are artificially inflated. So don't lock them or anything. But this is a competitive game. He's probably going to get 7 to 8 targets at 3,800. I'm good with it.
Yep. Who's your low tier, Joe?
My low tier, this is a guy that I don't think I've even been like tempted to play throughout most of this year. And that's Nelson Aguilar at 4,700. So the first 10 weeks, he didn't see more than 4 targets in a game. He's seen 26 the last 3. I actually forgot to mention that there was one more guy who over the last 2 weeks has seen more end zone targets besides the Devontae's and Thielen, and that's Aguilar. He's 7 end zone targets the last 2 weeks. And that's not red zone, that's end zone. And then also
difference, Joe, if people don't
know. So I'm saying he's actually getting targets in the end zone where if he catches the ball there, it is a touchdown.
No, I just wanted to make sure because some people don't – I'm just going to explain that kind of stuff.
And so it's a total fluke that he's only scored 1 touchdown the last 3 weeks. And it's not like he's just seeing dump offs. Last week, 5 deep passes, 227 air yards. That's if he just caught all of those deep passes plus the other targets, he would have had 227 yards on the spot. So he's just gearing up towards a big game at some point. And, you know, the Colts have a pretty good defense, but we've seen the last couple of weeks, especially last week, they just got torched by the Texans. And actually on PFF, his matchup with Rocky Asin is the 16th biggest advantage of any wide receiver versus corner. And that's telling because most of the time you have to be a truly elite receiver. Like Devontae has the 3rd biggest advantage. Tyreek has the biggest advantage this week because their grades are like 90 overalls. Aguilar is a 69 grade on PFF. He's a solid receiver. So that's telling you that Rocky Asin can be taken advantage of. And again, if it's not this week, if this targeting continues, he's going to have a big week. And I think when you're playing those 4,700 guys, you're kind of hoping this is the guy who goes off and gets me 25 and wins me a week. And I think Aguilar could be that guy.
Yeah. Nelson's a GPP play. Like, and guy, those big air yards, you're banging, like banking on 1 deep ball and 5 other catches I love Nelson. I thought Indy's defense was suspect and not as good as the rating. Like, those are always my favorite people is when there's individual matchups, but the actual rating against the position on DK doesn't seem as though it's that. Those are my favorite people to target. So I like Nelson for sure. He's someone that's in my player pool that I just haven't clicked on yet.
So that plays a role probably in Coty, right? Having the game he did last week as well.
Exactly.
Moving on to tight end. I'm going to start with a high tier. And again, if y'all have not been listening, one week I picked a tight end over like 4,500. Waller screwed me. I won't ever do it again. I believe in going low on tight ends unless you're going to play like Travis Kelce at flex. And even then, my tight end position is still going to be a low tier guy. So I'm just going to tell you that you're always going to get lower guys for me. Gesicki for Miami, who has been one of Joe's favorite plays lately. He's 4,500 versus Kansas City. And his last 3 games, he scored 8.3, 11.5, 23.8. So he's getting more involved in the offense. He scored in 2 straight. He has at least 5 targets in 4 straight, which is a big deal to me as a tight end. I want to make sure they're going to at least get an opportunity. The Chiefs over their last 3 games, and I had to recheck this, they've given up 23 receptions for 307 yards and 2 touchdowns to tight ends. They've been having issues. The Dolphins will be forced to throw. I mean, let's be serious. I know people think the Dolphins defense, and they are, but the Chiefs, I mean, like, I posted this in the group the other day. I think this season's pretty much over unless there's a fluke game. The Chiefs are just so much better than everybody else. And I think you're going to see it. Like, if you look at it, it seems like every time they have a game against another good team, they show out. They seem to struggle more with the teams that I think they think are going to be easy. And in these kind of showdown matchups, they put it on you. And then the only thing that does scare them is they do tend to take the foot off the gas a little bit, it seems like, but they're defending champs. I get it. I just think he's going to get a lot of opportunities. And again, if they're down, you got a chance for him to get targets. He's obviously their favorite red zone target right now. And for whatever reason, Tua just has not really got it together with Devontae Parker. I love Devontae Parker. Anytime Fitzpatrick's starting, I don't love him when Tua's starting. So Gesicki at 4,500, I think he's a safe play to get in that 8 to 10 point range. And as he saw last week, he has the potential to have a 20 point game every once in a while.
I'm with you on tight ends. I played Mike a lot this year, or a decent amount on FanDuel because of the TDs, but I don't like him with Tua generally because of how much they make a block and the game script looks different. But like you stated, they're going to have to throw, and Tua's not someone that's going to stretch it down the field. So I like him this week too.
What do you think of Tua overall real quick?
Trash. Bench him.
So do you think that you're talking about long-term or just now?
I just don't I've never been as high on him as everyone else, and I don't love what I see this year. Like,
yeah, I've been, maybe he doesn't know the offense.
I mean, he looks like a game manager. I think it's too early to judge him,
right?
But with how rookie quarterbacks just have looked over the last 3 years, I would be concerned. Like, it's just not a large gap. Like, even Kyler last year, you see it. Like, even if he doesn't, even if you just see it, like, you know it. You know it with Herbert. You know it with Burrow. And Herbert's not someone who's had – like, I could see Burrow as a fifth-year senior, sure, but Herbert's not someone who had all these starts. Like, he's a little – I mean, you know? So, I don't know. I personally am not a big fan. I don't like how they're handling Miami. I mean, just let them sit for the year.
They got a chance to, like, potentially get to, like, the AFC title game, too, Fitzpatrick. Like, I really believe that in the AFC because he can at least move the ball. And, you know, he's been there before, but – I think it's all about right that supposedly they want to get a look. So if they get that draft pick from Houston, they could potentially take another one, which is just crazy. But that's how Arizona ended up with Kyler Murray. So maybe it's not that crazy. Who knows?
No, I mean, I get that. But Houston's winning now. They know they
Well, that's fair.
It's true. It's not as enticing now.
That's right.
We're going to take. Like, yeah. We're not even getting fields at this point. So
that's fair. Joe, who's your high tier?
My high tier guy is Mark Andrews at 5,300. The one risk is he's coming off the COVID list, and he was a guy who tested positive for COVID.
You're coming off the COVID list too, though, Joe.
That's true. So
I'm confident.
So, you know, I've got to stick with my fellow COVID heads. But so we've seen some guys have come back a little slow off of the COVID list, but I think this is just – I think he was showing really strong the last 2 weeks before he went on the list. He had 12 receptions for 157 yards. Too, so he was looking good. And again, I think Lamar's trending up. And granted, Lamar is one of the few QBs where I don't think you have to necessarily stack him with anyone on the team. But if you did, Andrews would be the play. And I also just think this is a great matchup. Cleveland.
Bad.
Is on, yeah. Plus 4.5 points to tight ends on ESPN. That's second worst.
Tyler Eifert scored against him, Joe. I mean, yeah, I got that, Tyler Eifert touchdown at 2,500.
The legendary Eifert call. 29th on DraftKings against tight ends. And they have given up a touchdown to a tight end in 4 straight weeks, obviously including Tyler Eifert. So 5 touchdowns over the last 4 weeks, 2 tight ends. So I think if you're banking on anyone being on the receiving end of a touchdown from Lamar this week, it's Mark Andrews.
Mark Andrews is always in play. I play low tight ends. These guys are good. That's all I got.
I agree. My middle tier guy is honestly basically the same price as my lower. I think he's more risky actually than my lower one too. But if Janu Smith is out again, I really like Frisker. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. For the Titans at 3,600, he's at Jacksonville. We've spent enough time talking about how bad the Jags are. You just need to know that in the 2 games that Smith has not played, he scored at least double digits in both. The Jaguars, we talked about the running and receive. I do want to say this. They've given up 9 touchdowns and over 12 yards per catch to tight ends. So, again, they're just a historically bad defense. If Janu Smith is out, I like this guy. He's had a few other big games where he scored in that 8 to 12 point range at 600. And again, against the Jaguars, we talked about it. Anybody can score. You know, any starter can score. Tight end, receiver, running back. It's worth a shot in the dark. Who's your middle tier, Joe?
My middle tier is TJ Hockenson at 5,000. So it's higher end of the middle tier. But, you know, I talk about this every time we pick him. He has only had one game under 9 points on the year, which makes him one of 2 or 3 tight ends.
It was 8.7, right, Joe? Did we figure that out last week? It was like 8.7.
Something like that. Yeah. So it's like he's one of 2 or 3 tight ends that you don't have to worry about murdering you with a 2-point game. And he's been trending up. The last 3 weeks, he's had at least 4 receptions, at least 7 targets, and at least 68 yards all 3 weeks. And he hasn't scored a touchdown. So, I mean, obviously there's danger in assuming a guy is due. But, I mean, if he keeps seeing 8 targets and 5 receptions, the guy is going to score eventually. And he has 5 touchdowns on the year. So this has really been kind of a weird streak he's had. And, again, you know, Green Bay, 8th against tight ends. They're not a bad defense against tight ends. But I expect Green Bay to light up Detroit. So I think there's going to be a lot of opportunities. And, again, if Galladay doesn't play, that's just more for Hockenson.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I love it without Galladay. Hockenson is the most frustrating player on our roster consistently because he just can't put it together. He either has
7 never has the huge 50
yards or 2 mm-hmm. receptions, yep. 19 yards, and a TD.
Yep. Exactly.
So give me a feeling.
honestly, this is probably the tight end I'm going to have in most of my lineups. Dalton Schultz is 3,500 at Cincy. He scored 8 points or more in 5 straight. He's averaging 6 targets per game at that time. The Bengals give up 6 catches for 70 yards per game to tight ends, 7 touchdowns on the season. In the last 2 games, the Bengals have given up 17 receptions for 233 yards and a touchdown. Schultz is a guy that, I mean, Andy Dalton, you know, is going to throw to. It's a lot like with CeeDee Lamb. Also, like the Gallup play, now he's throwing a little more down the field. But you know that Dalton is going to have a lot of checkdowns. That's what he does. Schultz is going to be there. And I just think Schultz at that 3,500 is kind of like last week where I played Fisker at that 2,700. The weeks I played Trey Burton. I just think his floor is so low. I think, you know, you're going to get 7-8 points out of him, even if he has a bad game. You get lucky and he scores a touchdown. He gets in that, you know, 12 to 14 point range at 3,500. Now you're on to something for a lineup. He's my low tier.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. Schultz is my top low tier guy too, just because I think that matchup is just so enticing. And he's been getting decent numbers, obviously nothing huge, but I just think that's a fantastic matchup for a guy who's only 3,500.
Yeah, he's good by me. I like Schultz.
So the flex. And Corey, you know, you do a podcast with Alan as well, Mr. Actively Lazy. When we first started doing the Backdoor Cover podcast, he started teaching me about instincts, you know, and how sometimes it's not just about data, you know, or trends, but it's just trusting your gut. I'm going to go ahead and tell you this is a gut play because he's expensive. I'm sure he's going to be high rostered, but I think DK Metcalf is going to have a huge game this week. He's 8,400, which I actually think might be a little undervalued only because I think the Seahawks are going to use this Jets game as a get right game. I mean, they really need to get the momentum going back. They're at home. I'd honestly be shocked if they don't lay the smack down on the Jets. The Jets give up 15 receptions for 195 yards per and 12 touchdowns. And then if you just look at what physical receivers have done in the last couple of weeks, you know, Darren Waller, who I know is technically a tight end, but he's a big, you know, fast, you know, tight end receiver. He had obviously the 13 catches, 200 yards, 2 touchdowns. Mike Williams, who is, you know, a big physical receiver for the Chargers, who was disappointed all year. He had 4 catches for 72 yards and a touchdown. And in games against teams outside the division, which Joe makes fun of me sometimes about this, but I think this stuff, you know, trends matters. Metcalf has scored 27.5 points per game. He just seems to struggle against it. I mean, it makes sense. There's good defenses in the division, the Niners, the Cardinals, the Rams. again, this is a gut call, and I know it's 8,400, but we've seen what Metcalf can do. I think he has five games of 25 points or more. I think he's due for a monster game against this Jets who have nobody that can cover him. He's my high-tier guy.
I like it. And you said you had Darnold in a lineup, so running back with some Metcalf. Yep. I like it. I do think this is the type of spot you'd pick Metcalf in. Against a bad team, suspect secondary. No one on a bad team wants to tackle Metcalf. Coming off some duds, like going to be lower owned. Most people think he's too expensive. Like, I do think this is the spot you pick someone like that. So a low owned Metcalf against a bad secondary is something I can get behind. I might actually throw him in a lineup now that you say that.
That made my night right there, Joe.
I mean, yeah, the Jets are right there with the Jags as both being awful in pass coverage and just being super banged up.
And they want to lose.
Yeah, and although maybe we'll see what happens now that they have a sane defensive coordinator. So
trust me, that was part of the interview for whoever's taking over. It's like, you know, we ain't winning a game this year.
Yeah, so I like that pick even at that money. My guy, which I think this might be the third straight week I've chosen him in some fashion, is James Robinson, 7,500 against Tennessee. Again, I mean, so much of fantasy football is just having the opportunities. And he's fourth in the league in touches. He still does not have a game where he hasn't hit double digits. He's off back-to-back 20-point games. And I mean, again, he's matchup proof. He's involved 11 receptions in the last 2 weeks. And, you know, I think we've seen Tennessee gives up points. I think the Jags are going to score some points in this game one way or the other. And Tennessee's 26th on DraftKings against running backs. They give up 5 receptions per game to backs. So I think there's no reason to not to expect at least 15. And there's a good chance he's hitting 20-25 again.
How does nobody draft this guy?
Because you think they're going to be down the whole game, and logic says don't play a running back if they're going to lose by 30?
No, I'm talking about, like, he was undrafted, correct? Like, they didn't draft
running back, right. Running backs don't matter, man.
He was undrafted in real life and in everyone's fantasy draft.
Running backs don't matter. I mean, the dude runs like a 4.940 and is from a school you never heard of. Why would you draft him?
And this is a great reason why you don't, because you could find a James Robinson.
Exactly.
Like, I'm kind of hoping, I'm just like crossing my fingers that the Giants aren't going to give Saquon $15 million a year another season.
Oh, I wouldn't off to back-to-back injuries. God. So my mid-tier flex, I'm going back to the well. It was one of my best plays all year. Kinko T, $5,000. They're at Chicago. He's, you know, the number two weapon in a really good offense. Watson has been great all year. He got 9 targets, which actually led the Texans last week. He had 8 receptions for 141 yards. I was a little concerned, you know, because of the Bears, but then I looked. They have really had issues with receivers lately. In their last 4 games, they've given up 48 receptions, 725 yards, and 7 touchdowns to wide receivers. They've given up 8 of their 9 touchdowns on the season to wide receivers in the last 6 games. Cote's going to get volume. He's got Watson. And it's one of those deals we talk about a lot of weeks. His price has not matched what it should be yet. He's $5,000. I'm sure in another week or two, when he has a couple more good games before Fuller comes back, I think he can come back right like the last week or something. He's going to eventually be in that 6,000 range, and that's when you got to start looking the other way. But you're getting the number two receiver, who was actually the number one target receiver with one of the best quarterbacks in football. $5,000, I think it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, I'm actually going to have some Watson this week because of what you said. Bears have been getting lit up the last 2 weeks, and everyone's going to shy away from playing them. So I like the Cote play, and I'll have some Watson.
The one thing I would warn about QT, and I think probably his talent just wins out and this doesn't end up mattering, but he was the slot guy the majority of the time. And actually Chad Hansen, who I have never heard of, saw more snaps last week because he was the outside guy. So, and also I'm not sure they're going to run 3 wide as often as they did last week, because they've run a decent amount of 2 tight end this year.
And they will.
So in a game where they're not trailing, Cootie,
like,
might not see
Texans
as much.
Tight ends, don't you, Corey?
Hmm?
Don't you like both the Texans tight ends this week?
I only like Atkins. Okay. I won't touch Fells, but I'll like Atkins and I'll probably a Watson lineup, but I can't touch Fells. Yeah. I can't do it.
Fells is a play when Atkins is out. Otherwise, I would stick with Atkins as well.
Exactly.
But yeah, I don't hate the Kuti play, especially when he's still at 5,000. That's something to keep an eye on. If he does end up playing the vast majority of the snaps this week, then I think at that point you just let it roll always with him.
What percentage of snaps did he play? Do you know?
He still played, 75%. So he still saw a solid amount. But again, that's with them running a lot of three wide because they were trailing that whole game.
Yeah, true.
My mid-tier guy, and this is going on the higher end of the mid-tier, I'm sticking with another Robinson, and that's Allen Robinson at 6,800. He's just a clear number one guy. Again, like James, he's the guy who's giving you 10 almost every week. He had one game against my Giants because James Bradberry has been as locked down as I was hoping this year. Every other game, he's giving you at least 10. We've seen four games where he's gone 20-plus, and he's in a matchup where I like the opportunity for him to go off against Houston. Houston's corners without Bradley Roby, who's really been their only solid corner this year, and he's suspended for the year. And I expect Houston to be able to put up some points on a Chicago defense that's shown they're susceptible. And three straight weeks, they've given up at least 14 receptions and a touchdown to opposing receivers. So I like Robinson at that range. Although, again, I think Julio's also right there too. I like either of those guys, 65 and 6,700.
Yeah, I love Allen Robinson this week. Absolutely love Allen. That Houston, the secondary is deplorable, and Mitch and him have a good connection. So I'm all over some Allen Robinson this week for sure.
So my low tier flex is Tim Patrick, 4,200 at Carolina. If you take away the game where Denver didn't have a quarterback, and I mean, you kind of have to. In his last four games, he's averaging 15 points per game. He has three touchdowns. In that time, he had 17 receptions, 260 yards. He's facing a Panthers D that has given up seven touchdowns in their last four games to receivers. In that span, 67 receptions, 720 yards. As I said, they were really bad against the run, and then it's like it's flipped to where now they're terrible against the pass. And with Locke as quarterback, he scored double digits in five of the seven games that they played together. They both started. And four of his five touchdowns have came in the games that Locke has started as well. And then, again, I always have to mention this stuff. Four of the five touchdowns have came on the road. This week's game is on the road. I think at 4,200, Patrick with that matchup is another one of those guys. I'm not saying I'm as confident as Coty or some of these other low tier ones that I've been giving over the last couple of weeks, but I do think there's a very good chance that he can get you double figures for 4,200 with the potential to have a boom game of 15 to 20 points at 4,200 this week. He's my low tier flex.
Yeah, I have to click on Patrick's name pretty much weekly, as long as he has a quarterback. The thing that I always get into in these situations is usually like a lot of dependent, like who do I have? If I'm paying up anywhere, I'll take a Patrick. But like fundamentally, you have to ask yourself, would you rather have Adam Thielen and Julio Jones or Devontae Adams and Tim Patrick? Right. Like those are the questions you have to ask yourself. I'm not sure what the right answer is. That's it.
Like last week I had a lot of success because I made the decision I was going to have Coty and, you know, like Adams in a bunch of lineups and it worked. Yeah. But there's been other weeks that I had like Dalvin Cook. Like the week I had Tyreek Hill, I had Dalvin Cook and a lot of lineups with him. And it would have been an unbelievable week if I wouldn't have had Dalvin Cook in three lineups and spent that, you know, 9,600 somewhere else.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm clicking Patrick for sure. He's in two of my lineups.
Yeah, I like that Tim Patrick play. Probably because of the amount of money you're talking off. I like him even more than my low tier guy, which is T. Higgins. So Higgins is at 4,800. And obviously the worry is the quarterback play in Cincinnati, but he's done a pretty good job weathering that so far. He's hit double digits on DraftKings both of the weeks that Burrow has not started. And really what I love about it is just I love wide receivers against the Dallas Cowboys. Because the Dallas Cowboys have given up multiple touchdowns to wide receivers eight times this season. They've given up 21 pass receiving touchdowns to receivers. That's more than about half the league has given up total passing touchdowns. So if the Bengals can move the ball on Dallas, And I think pretty much anyone can move the ball on Dallas.
Especially with Joe Mixon getting a ton of rushing yards and, you know, pass catches.
Yeah, if Mixon's back, I'm higher on Higgins just because I think they're going to be more successful moving the ball, though. But I just love any matchup where you've got receivers against Dallas just because they're so prone to giving up passing touchdowns.
Corey, you got any thoughts on that?
Can't do it. I think I made fun of you when you had Geo a couple weeks ago.
You did.
Can't do it. Can't do it. Won't do it. Don't care.
No, I can understand that one.
I'm not sure Lindsay can move the ball against us three. I'm not doing it.
So we're going to –
he has – if there's one guy, obviously Higgins has shown that he's been successful with throwing for 70 yards.
So it was such a shame.
Instead of 70, he's his guy, so – you're going to have somebody.
That's why on all the reasons to suck about Burrow, obviously there's a lot of them. One of the biggest ones was T. Higgins was just, I mean, I was shocked. I did not expect him to be that good. I mean, he was tearing it up. Before.
They were all good with Burrow.
Yeah, they were.
Good enough too.
Boyd, A.J. Green was having some good games. The defense, we don't spend a lot of time on, especially because I want to get to Corey's lineups. Just real quickly, I think, you know, I told you Sam Darnold, but – the Seahawks at 3,000 to me is the defense that I'm going to have probably with every lineups. We've talked about they get pressure. The Jets don't have a good offensive line. They get a couple of turnovers. I think at 3,000, that's really good. I also like Washington, 2,800 at San Francisco. You get pressure on Mullins. We know he can turn the ball over. Washington is going to get pressure for sure. And then we've talked about Murray being banged up. The Giants D all of a sudden is for real. Like, I mean, they've started to actually slow down some good offenses. We saw what they did to Seattle last week. And Cliff Kingsbury is an idiot. So if he runs the wrong type of offense, which I think he could, where he tries to, you know, kind of run what they've done and not adapt considering his quarterback is injured, I could see the Giants at 2,600 being a great play. Those are my three defenses. Joe, what's yours?
My number one play, or my top tier play, I mean, I this is not bad for a high price, the highest priced defense, the Saints at 3,800. I usually tend to not go very high on my defensive spending just because I think there's better usage of your money, but 3,800 is not that bad. They've scored double digits for the last 5 weeks. They're number one in adjusted sack rate. Philadelphia is dead last on offense adjusted sack rate. So that's just automatic points with sacks. Jalen Hurts is probably going to be out there. I don't know what exactly that does, but an elite defense against a rookie QB is always a good play to me. This burned me last week, but give me a defense facing a New England team whose offense I still don't buy. And the Rams are a lot better than the Chargers on defense. So I like that at 3,200. And then going for my low tier, Houston and Chicago, just because even though I like Rob, you know, I chose two Chicago guys. I gotta pull the plug on that one.
I was about to say, I don't like that.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I'm going against myself here just because I hate Trubisky and Foles so much as options, but the guys around them are good enough. So looking at low tier, give me Washington at 2,800 against San Francisco just because that Washington defense is not messing around. And if you pressure Nick Mullins makes mistakes.
Quick little Niner tidbit: as a Niner fan, they have turned the ball over two times in six straight weeks. So, wow. Yes.
There you go.
Yeah. Not even counting the sacks.
Any of those other defenses you really like or ones that we didn't mention before we get into your line?
No, that's the one. Skins is the one. I don't mind the Niners defense either. My strategy is who's going to turn the ball over. Our defenses are so random, so – like, I always just look for teams that have turnover quarterbacks. And so those are the ones that stick out the most that are low tier. I don't mind Dallas's defense at 2,400 at all.
That's a good
Lindsay still about that. Horrible. So I could see. I don't mind Dallas's defense.
So we're really excited about this because, like I said, we did this, unfortunately, for the Thanksgiving game. It didn't work out. Corey is very good at this. And for people that listen to it, obviously, we like you to, you know, make your own decisions. That's why we give you guys in different price tiers. But I love having some lineups because Corey is going to basically give you a master class on how to build a lineup, or at least the thought process. And I'm not going to put that kind of pressure on you, Corey. Why don't you go through some of these lineups?
Yeah, so I've actually been making some changes as we've gone along. Some of these lineups just because of thoughts. But so I'm going to start with the one that people are going to go, what? Why? So I'm starting with my Jacksonville lineup. I like Mike Glennon this week. Mike Glennon is averaging 40 attempts per game in his two starts. We've all talked about why we love everyone Tennessee. We think they're going to score 35 points. Well, he's going to throw for 40 times again today. And at 5K, if he gets 4X, all you're looking for is 20. His floor is 15, and he's gotten over 15 in both of the weeks if you're only looking for 3X. So I like Mike Glennon this week, and you can the thing I love about Glennon the most is you can pair him with his favorite receiver for 3,600. So Colin Johnson, you would think with DJ Chark being back last week, it would have diminished his time. Still got six targets, still got 12.6 points, 19.6 the week before with eight targets. And so you're looking at somebody that's averaging 15 DK points a game with Glennon in. And a lot of times you see these backup quarterbacks love second string receivers because that's who they're comfortable with from throwing to in practice all the time. So you can start your lineup off with 8K for a stack. That's awesome. Where I'm starting it.
I love it.
Then obviously you got to run it back. If I'm running that back, I'm picking a big game from Henry. I don't think it's going to be an actual shootout. So that allows me some flexibility to get Henry. Somebody that hasn't been mentioned in my favorite play of the week is Austin Eckler. I think a lot of people got burned by him last week. So a lot of people are off of him. He's still got nine targets last week. It only equaled four receptions, but we're talking about a running back who has 25 targets in the 2 weeks he's been back and what we all think is a shootout. So you're starting off with 10 targets.
11 receptions the first time he played the Falcons.
Yes, and he had nine last week. So you're talking about a running back that starts off with 10 targets at 7K. Give me every share of him. He'll be in all of my
lines. He'll get more than three carries in the first half, too. Nice coaching there, Glenn.
Exactly. And then, so I try to do mini stacks. I will have Justin Jefferson or Thielen in that next spot. So I'm still tossing up right now between Mike Evans and Julio because I am playing Eckler, so you could bring it back with Julio. Or you could bring Mike Evans back for the Minnesota team. I love Mike Evans in this spot. I think he's due for a breakout game. I don't like that he's banged up.
Right.
Why do so many guys all of a sudden have questionable tags? I looked today and like about 10 receivers showed up with questionable tags.
It's always the worst on Wednesdays, which is when we do the pod, because anyone who's limited or doesn't practice on a Wednesday gets an automatic questionable tag. So, like, James Robinson's questionable one, I'm blanking on Marone, the coach, has already said he's going to be good to go on Sunday, but he didn't practice fully today, so he's questionable.
Yeah, and I normally don't care, but I do care about a wide receiver with a hamstring issue.
Right.
Yeah. And that's why Evans is questionable, and I'm good on that. So, we'll probably land in someone in that Julio. I think I actually might go Allen Robinson in that spot. And then what actually changed is I loved Jonathan Taylor this week. I still do love Jonathan Taylor. Not sure if I'm going to be able to fit him, but he had to sit out for COVID. But the week before, he had 22 carries this week. He had 13 carries last week. I think he has 42 touches in those last 2 weeks in a game that we anticipate being a high-scoring game. He's recontrolled with that backfield, so I definitely like him. But I probably pivot to Kenyon Drake. Kind of talked me into that, talked myself into it while talking out loud with you all. I like Kenyon Drake a lot, too. So between those two in that lineup and then the Washington football team defense in that lineup. So as you can see, I try to build my lineups, build them out, then stack it down. I know we talked about this earlier, but for one of my lineups, I am going back to the old school QB1, RB1 wide receiver run. And that is for the Chargers. I'm going to go Justin Herbert, Austin Eckler, and Allen. The reason I'm doing that is because Eckler is not independent of Herbert. It just talks about all the targets. So it's like going quarterback one, wide receiver one, wide receiver two almost. So love that as an option there. I'm going to bring that back with some Julio just to have that in there. Obviously going to have Derrick Henry there as well.
I'm still playing. I'll play Colin Johnson naked at 3,600. I just will. I have no issues with Colin Johnson this week. I love if I can get someone that gets 20 targets and averages 15 points per game with a quarterback that is new and has only proven to throw to them, even with their number one receiver back, I'm going to take it. That Tennessee defense is for the taking. They're going to be behind. He's going to be throwing the whole time. All for it this week. And also, like we spoke about, Michael Gallup in that lineup as well. And Logan Thomas. We haven't talked a lot about Logan Thomas, but Alex Smith is.
No, he just pushing. All of a sudden, like, Alex, it was one of our favorite plays. And then went away from him when he got hot.
Yeah, Alex isn't throwing the ball downfield. I don't know if this is news to anyone, but I know that you're going to get 20 targets between JD McKissick and Logan Thomas. Every week, those two will have 20 targets. Put it together. I don't know what the split or the denomination will be, but you're getting 20 targets between those two.
You think that hurts McLaurin value as well the rest of the way?
What do you say?
Do you think that hurts McLaurin's value the rest of the way with him?
I think McLaurin will become matchup dependent going forward.
Where's the ceiling?
Yeah, exactly. I think you could play him back in the day whenever against whoever because he had 12, 15 targets. With them being in games, like those games, they're down. Yeah, for sure. Right. But if it's a close game or they're in front, no. I think this is a great McLaurin week because everyone's going to be off him. But who goes off on the Steelers secondary? Not many people. So don't let that scare you away from Terry.
It's always the weird guy. Like the Steelers have given up yards and touchdowns, but it's really – like weird random receivers that end up doing it. Like Willie Snead had two touchdowns against him. I mean, you never know.
Exactly. I have a Stafford lineup. Stafford's my favorite play of the week. I will be playing him with Galladay if Galladay is in, with Jones if Galladay is out, bringing it back with Devontae Adams. I have Henry and Eckler in every one of my lineups. And then we talked a little bit about Patrick, who I love this week. I am on the fence about Breshad Perriman. Again, I do think there's something to that Seattle defense being a little suspect.
What about Mims, then? Hit him
over the top. So that maybe Mims. Again, it's a shoulder industry.
Oh, I didn't know he got banged up last week.
I think that Seattle has given up big plays.
Yeah.
They're not a dink and dunk type team. So if I'm picking someone from that offense for a big play, it's going to be Perriman. But I could easily talk myself out of Perriman by the time Sunday comes. I am not guaranteeing you he'll be in my lineup. I could easily pick someone else before then. Then again, you'll see correlation with all my lineups. You saw that I have someone from Green Bay for the Detroit stack, et cetera. And then you'll – so I may just go all in with Colin Johnson and call it a day. It's possible. And it's possible. That's one of my favorite plays of the week.
I absolutely love this because, you know, I've obviously played fantasy for a long time. I've just really got into daily fantasy in the last year or two. And I mean, I'm not gonna lie, there's words you were using. I don't even know what they mean. But to see, you know, the strategy behind this, I'm a huge nerd. I'm like a sponge when it comes to this kind of stuff. You're going to get at least 4 million texts over the next couple of days because I'm going to be asking questions, but this is great. Like, it really is. Yeah. If you want to come on the podcast anytime, we would love to have you.
Yeah, absolutely.
I like really appreciate you doing this. I know we will see you every Sunday on the NFL show. You do the NBA show with Alan as well, which is one of my favorite podcasts because I have not found a good NBA podcast on like ESPN. I mean, like I do still listen to Simmons, but I don't really consider that a true NBA podcast. You know, it's more just a bullshit podcast. It's very entertaining. But you guys talk X's and O's and stuff, which I love. You know, I really do appreciate you coming on. You got anything else you want to plug?
No, that's pretty much it, man. We'll see if these picks fall on their face. I may not return.
No. Hey, anybody who does this knows that it can go north or south real easily.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so much of DFS is just like your personal experiences with players, and a lot of people ride the same players or same trends against the same team. So That stuff is really good. So I'll make sure you guys have my final lineup here over the next day or so. I may swap one or two people out, but definitely thanks for having me. This has helped me instead of trying to like piece together the podcast. I usually agree with you all. I'm like, oh, what are these awesome plays that I have to put together? I got to hear them live and switch a few things up. So appreciate it.
No, I really appreciate it, Corey. Joe, you got anything you want to go ahead and plug? Or
I have nothing to plug, but back from COVID, finally feeling like 100% again. And I just wanted two quick ads on to two of the guys that Corey talked about. Taylor's up against the Raiders, and only Detroit and Houston give up more rushing touchdowns than the Raiders this year. So I love that play.
Yeah, I mean, Johnson just went nuts on him, for God's sakes.
And then my warning on the reason Logan Thomas is so cheap, even though he's coming off some big games, is – the Niners give up the fewest targets to tight ends in the entire league, and only the Lions give up fewer receptions. So that Niners defense has been really good against tight ends. Maybe that doesn't matter with Smith in, but
part of
that
is why he's all. The NFC West doesn't really have any good tight ends. Do you remember that though?
No, that's a good. No. That's a good stat. I'll probably click off of him just for that. It makes sense based on our really athletic linebackers.
Yeah,
we don't give up a ton. Like, that's the strength of the team. So, interesting.
But, yeah, I've loved having Corey on because, yeah, I think one of the things you pick up on the more you play this is, like, how talking about how playing Henry, thinking the Titans will be in control, means even more passing for Jacksonville, and how all these things can interconnect when you're filling out your lineup.
I love it. So, you don't have anything you want to plug, though, Joe? Come on, man.
No, I don't think I have anything outside of the IBN NBA pod, though. I think Zach Lowe does a good job, though, as far as ESPN people go.
Zach's a nerd. Zach,
yeah. He's a nerd, but he knows.
He does. He went
too far right with the Westbrook hate. I had to jump off. I had to let him go. I love him. He used to be my favorite.
Other than that, just, you know, as we always do, the IB Sports podcast feed is available on iTunes, Spotify, Anchor. Support the brand. Like, seriously, like, we take a lot of time doing this stuff to provide content for you guys. You know, I've said it many times on this podcast that I can't always guarantee that our picks are going to be great, but I can guarantee that we spend a lot of time researching it, so we're not just throwing shit up against the wall for you. The wrestling podcast, we're going to be back later this week, myself, Ravishing Ron L. Tinsley, Sam the Shooter Howe. We did a podcast on Monday breaking down the NXT pay-per-view. We'll be back probably Thursday, Friday to do the superlatives for the week of wrestling, have a bunch to talk about the AEW stuff going on. And I actually think if RC doesn't take it away, he may let me come on the NFL show on Sunday. Nice. Or do a little fantasy talking. So I'm looking forward to that. And then, again, be sure to join the IB Sports. We got the Facebook group, and you join that and follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and there's a I always fuck it up. Patreon. I always say Patron, a Patreon, for IB Sports. It's $5 a month. Like, become an all-star. It was the best decision I ever made when I joined. You can post without approval from an admin. You can levy fines. You get free gambling information from Alan, who's practically a gambling savant. And then again, just want to plug Alan's The Backdoor Cover, which normally I co-host with him. He gave me basically permission to take a hiatus to really concentrate on this. But I can promise you, the second the fantasy football podcast is done, I will be right back there on with Alan, and we'll be right back giving you winners in golf because we killed it last year on the PGA Tour, which is something I really do know a lot about. So, Corey, I really do appreciate this. I'm serious. You're invited any week. You tell us, absolutely. You're on whenever you want to.
Appreciate it, man.
Absolutely. Joe, it's always good to see you. And again, this has been the weekly daily fantasy football podcast on the IB Sports podcast feed. And hopefully our picks this week will be as good as they have been the last couple. We'll see you guys soon.